Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. It is the Homemade Broadcast. This is episode 623. My name is Will Koontz, and let me introduce you to the hardest working, not only woman, in the broadcasting industry.
Jesus.
Anna, what's your middle name, Marie?
Lynn.
Lynn Hummel.
Thank you. Wow, what an introduction. It's a lie, but I appreciate the gesture.
I don't think it is. We were just talking before we started here. You're at home today because you are filling in Philadelphia this week.
Kale and Company, 6 to 10:30 a.m. this week.
That's right. And you're doing that all week long. And I asked you what time you got up this morning.
Yeah.
And then I asked you what time the show started.
Yep.
And you said the show starts at 6, which is a pretty common starting time for morning radio.
Right.
Maybe 5 sometimes in some places. And I asked what time you awoke, and you told me 4:30.
4:25.
Why did you pick the 25 instead of the nice round?
I was waking up at 4:15, and I'm like, that seems a bit much. Let's sleep in a little to 4:25. And I am working remotely, so it's not like I have to drive anywhere.
Right.
And I only have to get half dressed from the waist up.
No pants.
So I'm wearing I wear basketball shorts to work.
Yeah, that's
which is awesome. Oh my God, I love that so much. I cannot express it enough.
Yeah.
There's a couple reasons why I do that. Number one, I'm not a morning person. So you'd be like, why would you wake up earlier? Because I can't just like get up and I'm on, I'm ready to go. I have to warm up into the day. I put on a little makeup. I prep, go through the notes. I do my Wordle. And then I also don't want to like look groggy on camera. Like I don't want to look like I just woke up. So I have to wake up much earlier than the start time. So that's kind of the reason why.
It's interesting because I remember the days of filling in on the morning show. And I would lived about 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes away from the radio station at this time. And the show started at 6, and I would generally get up about 5:30, and I would brush my teeth.
That's nuts.
Throw on a hoodie and basketball shorts most of the time, and Birkenstocks, and then drive into the station, get there around 5:50, and be ready for the show. Johnny would typically get there about 5:55. And come rolling in, and then we would just roll from there.
Yeah, I don't like playing those games. I'm usually doing a sound check at about 5:43.
Yeah. So. Well, I get it. I get it. If you're working remote, you need to have a little time to make sure your setup is good. Right. You know, you crystal. But we were actually doing it at the station at that time. I felt it's just interesting. I was wondering if it's a difference between, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus type of thing, because my partner wife lady that I live with and I'm married to, she is an early riser as well. And she kind of just, I think she's kind of got the same mentality of, I want to start the day right. I don't want to just jump into work. I need to ease my way in.
Yep.
Hey. So she gets up a little earlier, sacrifices the sleep. I know for me, I would rather have the sleep than just jump into the day and just get going. And I wonder if that's a male or female difference.
So let me say this. When I was working my other job, I would wake up, roll out of bed, 20 minutes later, I'm out the door because I didn't care. But I care about this job. I care about this job. I want to look professional. I want to have like a little bit of makeup on. I want to make sure it sounds good. These are high stakes for me in my life. So I want to make sure it's done right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. Because
you're still kind of schmoozing, you know, this.
I'm flirting. Yes. Flirting. I'm yeah. wooing. Yep. I'm seducing. Right.
So if it changes in the future, does that mean that if you get comfortable like you were at your other gigs, that 5:30 wake up call starts to happen?
I don't think so. Just because, especially when you're doing it remotely, it's just, I don't want to look groggy on camera. I also hate bright lights and loud sounds, and I get both of those things at 6 a.m. So I don't want to look like I'm in a bad mood on camera. But yeah, like this job is important to me. I take it very seriously. I feel extremely grateful that I've been given this opportunity. Like, I don't deserve it somehow, but whatever. But yeah, so I think the way to show gratitude is just to show up and be responsible.
Yeah, but I mean, showing up and being responsible for a radio show is being prepared to speak for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there is a visual component now.
There is.
Streaming. But that's,
I just don't want to look like this. And I don't want my voice to sound like I just woke up. Because they don't sound like that. They are on it. They're ready to go at 6. So I can't be lagging behind them, low energy. I got to be like, let's go. Here we go. And I'm not like that 10 minutes after I wake up.
Do you know their wake up times?
Well, they're probably 4, maybe 4:30. One gets up at 3:30. I get a Zoom link from Phil Omquist, who is the producer. I'm not kidding. At 4:30. He wakes up at 3:30 because he has to drive like, I don't know, 45 minutes to work.
Right.
It's nuts that the hours that these people work. What, the host goes home and usually takes a nap, which is what I did today. But the co-host and the program director, he's the same person. Like, he works like a regular day after he does the show, which is nuts.
Like till 5.
He wakes up.
Five.
Yeah, he's up at 4. Like, I don't know how he does it.
4 to 5 workday, 4 a.m. to 5.
So, well, yeah, he's waking up at 4, starts at 6. Like, I don't know what time he goes home, but I feel like he's there probably until the early evening.
That's tough because there. I always check the job board to see if there's anything worth it, and like the on air positions are like on air afternoon and program director. They're like combined now.
You're right. Right.
There's no getting around it. Well. Good. So you'll be on there all week long. You can check them out. I know they have a YouTube stream as well, WPHT. If you search that, you should be able to find it. And you can watch Anna in the morning with makeup.
You can. Right now? Huh?
Do you have makeup on right now?
No. The first two things I do after we wrap is I take off my bra and I take off my makeup. Mm. And I go back to gremlin status because that's who I really am. I'm just a little gremlin.
How
I hate makeup.
Do with the makeup? Is it just washing your face, or do you have to put like oil or something on it to get it off?
I have these like wipes.
Okay,
just a little like a wipey thing, but a special one.
So yeah. It doesn't take that long.
No. I don't spend a lot of time on my makeup. I'm not one of these people. Maybe if like for your wedding, I put in a bit more time, obviously. But I mean, we're looking at 4 to 5 minutes on makeup, if that. Like, it's quick. And okay. It's not like, I don't really look like I'm, like, wearing makeup. I just, my cheeks look a little rosy, and my skin looks a little bit more, like, blurred. Like, you see less of the imperfections. That's also because of the lighting and the camera as well. It helps.
Sure.
But I just put on a little blush, a little bronzer, a little color, a little mascara, done.
Just flirting. Getting your flirt on.
Just flirting.
Yeah. Well, good. So check her out all week long. She'll be WPHT.
Yeah, Philly. Like Philly. I always, because WHPT is the bone.
That's right.
Right.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us. It is Wednesday, 6 p.m. here at willsyoutube.com, or perhaps you're listening on Radio St. Pete on Sunday evenings around 6 p.m. We are still airing over there. And Substack, hmbradio.substack.com. You can subscribe over there. There's a free version. You get to show the regular podcast early if you do that. And if you want to join and become a member, which you can do on YouTube as well, by the way. I think it's just below there. I'll put those videos up early as well. But the benefit with that is you get the podcast early. After we do it live, I schedule it to release Sunday at midnight. And if you become a member or join the Substack or whatever, you get the audio only podcasts early up front. First thing, I usually try to do it right after we stop recording. Sometimes I get some dinner and then I do that, but I'm pretty good about that. So it's up early for you. Just an added benefit. Good way to support us. We appreciate it. Venmo too, of course, just my name, Will Koontz. And we split those and super chats are available too for you. And thank you. 813-693-2124. HMBradio.com is the website. And, what was I going to say? Never mind. It's not important. Anna, St. Petersburg is, well, I was going to say is changing. It's changed. It has completely changed from when I lived down there. It's unrecognizable. Most of the things that I did recognize, businesses, just places torn down, rebuilt. It's got skyscrapers now. There's just new things, which is good. You can't stop progress. And right. Who would want to, really? But this was even a problem when I was living in St. Petersburg. I don't know if you know this about me, but I was participating in the art scene of St. Petersburg, the early art scene. And when I lived there early on, it was an affordable city to live in. There was people doing things, kind of making it cool. There was the USF campus was down there, which brought a lot of younger blood to the city. And I remember walking around the main blocks of downtown St. Pete and there being kids with carrying guitars and canvases and just doing, cool things. And it kind of became a place, a hub of creatives there. And it made the city very unique and very hip and cool. I was trying to do visual art for a long time. So I participated in some of those Chad Mize art shows at the Blue Lucy. Didn't really find much success in that. And then I started doing the podcast where I started to interview those people and talk to them and talk about the art that they're doing. And I liked that more. So I kind of focused on that more. I did stand-up comedy down there, ran the Sly Bar open mic. It became Tap House 61 later, which just closed, by the way. Rest in peace.
Good time. Yeah, I did hear about that.
And it doesn't feel like there's much happening. It kind of came to it. It seemed like there was always something, some sort of art show, comedy thing, whatever, something happening down there. It seems like it has dwindled quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. At least the independent stuff. I mean, there's established business that there's,
there's always stuff. Events going down there, but maybe you're making some other points. I'll let you
finish. Well, I guess more just independent, small time self put on shows. It's not just like, businesses.
I see.
And definitely not like it was. I mean, there's events happening, but like what? Can you name any?
Like all the festivals that they have at Vinoy, or you're not talking about that. I mean, I'm always looking at I Love the Berg. They always have markets going on Saturday mornings.
Yeah. That's not going to be affected. I guess those are craftsmen that are.
Yeah. I mean, they always have come to this cooking class or, me, I like all the wellness BS. So there's wellness socials that I go to. There's you could pay $10 and take a Pilates class at some brewery. Like they always have stuff like that going on. Or if you want to do a painting with a twist, but it's whatever, not called that, but similar thing. We're like, hey, we're all going to paint a pigeon today. It's going to be $39. Come by. They always have stuff like that going on. But I kind of see what you're saying in terms of it's becoming more sanitized. I don't know. It's just
gentrified. Cause the stuff you're talking about is the painting with a twist is for wine moms, to pay to do a little bit of art. I'm talking about people who are I'm an artist. and I'm going to display my work at this independent show in a
don't
ball.
They do the Shine Festival every year, and they do like murals and stuff.
It's corporate. Yeah, but there's money there, and they, you know, get some local people. They get some, and I don't actually know if that's still going on or not, but that was a thing.
It was in 2024, I believe. And I know this because I was often at Radio St. Pete in downtown St. Petersburg. So I kind of had my finger more on the pulse of things that were going on down there. But yeah, there's still people doing stuff. But that's a good word. It seems like it's been corporatized. Like everything. Everything is becoming the same because everybody's on social media and... I don't know. You know what I mean? Like globalization too, instead of different cultures, like there's just a McDonald's everywhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And there, it was kind of like art for art's sake back then. Not that we weren't trying to sell paintings or whatever. Everybody was trying to do that, but nobody really was buying at that point. And then there was some craftsmen or artists that kind of found a foothold and were able to, you know, make a living doing art and selling art, and they, you know, open shops. Some still are open today. Many are not. I know a lot of people have transferred over to Pinellas Park, actually, where I'm reside now, because it's a little bit cheaper, and they were trying to maybe be the next St. Pete. You know, all the people that are going, why don't you come here and we'll give you grants and stuff like that. I don't know how strong that's still going on, but I think Derek Donnelly has a studio in Pinellas Park. I'm pretty sure he still does. Maybe not. But I don't know. It's just and part of it is like I've been so far out of that arena for so long. I don't know really what's going on down there. But it just seems like a lot of the people that are working are doing so to sell, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I'm just saying it kind of is. It's not like as strong of a community as there used to be. But people are complaining they're getting priced out of the picture in St. Pete. And I guess my question is, well, I'll save my question for the end. Let's watch this together, since this is about our beloved St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg art has helped turn the city into a destination. People come from all over the world to see some of these murals, to be a part of the arts community. But as the city has grown, rising costs are pricing some of the people behind that creative identity completely out of the picture and out of the community. So with the mayoral primary election tomorrow, the issue has become part of a debate here over St. Pete's future.
The artist community is the community that we put in the forefront of everything that we do.
I've known for a long time that we need to fund the arts adequately.
I will champion the arts every single frickin' day.
And at the end of the day, I don't know if the city would know that I was gone tomorrow, you know?
Artist Alex Kaufman has contributed to many major art projects across St. Pete. One of them, the Sunshine City Mosaic, stretches 175 feet.
This is one piece of tile.
After 15 years here, though, he wants to open his own fabrication studio, hire an assistant, and build his work locally. But the space is hard to find.
There's not a whole lot of inventory, and the prices are probably double the triple what I'm looking to pay and what I've historically known the prices to be of studio spaces in the city.
One possible studio comes with only a 6-month lease. To Kaufman, that's not a foundation for growth.
The artists aren't looking for a handout. We're just looking for stability in order to grow and build. And when the landscape is changing so fast, it becomes very difficult to plan long-term.
This turnout is just quite amazing.
The St. Petersburg Arts Alliance recently brought mayoral candidates face-to-face with people who work in the arts community. And with the primary approaching, those in the room wanted more than praise.
I feel like it's easy to toss the arts around. It's kind of a romantic, sort of like an anchor for St. Pete, but then I don't see the support backing that up. So it's frustrating.
A 2022 study of St. Pete's nonprofit arts and culture sector shows what's at stake. Art attendees spent an average of $48.90 per event beyond admission. More than 70% of non-local attendees said the event was the primary reason for their visit. And more than 92% said the activity or venue inspired pride in their community. Ken Welch points to his proposal to use part of the hotel bed tax to create a steadier source of arts funding.
That proposal is still on the table.
I just want to point something out. The guy that was first interviewed here, the guy who did the cool tile work, he just said, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm just looking to...
For stability is the word he used, which...
Yes.
That's a handout. That's what he means.
Well, I don't think that's so much of a handout, but saying that you're going to use these taxes to fund the arts and I'm going to be an advocate for the arts, like all these mayors are saying, and fund the arts, that is directly a handout. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of have problems and issues with this as far as, I mean, like I support the arts, but I do that personally. Like, I don't necessarily think that public money should be going towards it. Is that weird?
No, that's this should not be a high priority for the city at all. This should be very low priority for the city. Maybe nice fixing up roads. I don't know, mitigating crime in certain areas. Maybe that should be top priority, not where am I going to do my oil paintings.
Yeah, government.
Sorry.
For my artwork. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I feel torn. I really am kind of at an impasse with myself with this stuff. But I just feel like that people, I don't want to pay any taxes. Like, I'm at that point now where I just think taxes are a ripoff. And
yeah.
I know there are certain things that we all use, like roads. That's the big one, I know. And I'd be okay with that if it uh-huh. taxes went to roads. But the roads are a mess. Around here, the
roads need to be fixed. So
definitely need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this is kind of a low priority. I think there's a sense of kind of, hey, you know, we made this city into what it is today, so you kind of owe us. It almost feels
did they is that true?
I mean, it made it hip and cool, but I would say probably the University of South Florida setting up a base, you know, down there.
I think the gays had a lot to do with it.
Gays did have a lot to do with it, yes.
Making it nice, gentrifying the area.
The Tampa Bay Rays had a lot to do with it, building the area.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. This is kind of like the reparations argument where it's like, well, artists in the past... did all this. Yeah, well, those people took risks and they risked their lives being in the ghetto, opening up a brewery or doing art in St. Pete when it wasn't very safe. Like maybe those people directly. But the fact that, you know, 20 years later, 15 years later, some artist pops up and is like, no, I want tax dollars to fund my art passion pipe dream. No, sorry.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like it's kind of like a free market argument where if people want to buy your art, then great, you should continue to do it. But if they don't, then maybe you should, I don't know.
Unfortunately, it's just that, like, it's the same thing I see with these young people who move to New York City and they're like, it's so unaffordable. I'm like, okay, then why did you move there?
Yeah.
Like, not everyone, you don't have a right to live in New York City and it needs to be affordable. If things are too unaffordable, then maybe you shouldn't live there. You know, maybe it's a little bit different for people who are like born and bred, like they know they're from there, they're born there, they went to school there, whatever. But like people who move there from everywhere else in the country and world and then, you know, complain that it's too expensive. Yeah, you knew that going in. So,
I mean,
I don't understand why this is my responsibility.
Yeah. And I mean, this has been a problem since I haven't lived there in years now. And even before that, it was something we were all talking about. But it seems to, I don't know, life goes on, you know, the show goes on. There's still artists working there. Some can, some can't, you know, move to Pinellas Park and do some stuff there.
Right.
I feel like there's still opportunity just outside the city, but I understand why people like, listen, I, you know, work here. I want to live here.
Well, hey, you can want one hand and blanket another and see which one fills up faster, which is what my partner says to me almost on the daily.
Yeah.
So I've really internalized that. But yeah, it's nobody's, like you said, you could easily move to Pinellas Park, which is not far from St. Petersburg. Yeah, you're not like in the mix or whatever. But if you buy like get one of those like pop-up tents and a table and you go to all the, there are markets every week, multiple times a week where you can be a vendor, sell your stuff. And if you're good, people will buy it. And then if you make more money, perhaps you can afford to lease one day in St. Pete. Unfortunately, that's not the public's responsibility to sponsor your dream.
I think you're right.
So
I feel too. Let's finish this out. It's got another minute or two.
That would generate $5 million a year for the arts.
Charlie Crist says the city budget can do more. But the larger affordability crisis must also be addressed.
Make St. Pete affordable. It costs a lot to live here. It's a special place. But we need to make it more affordable for more citizens, in my humble opinion.
Ellen French, executive director of the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, says the city can build support for the arts in a way that manages its growth.
I do think that we can be smart about how we work with developers. And I say we, I mean artists, but also the city, and what they prioritize is like, hey, this isn't important to us in the city. The arts are important to us. And I think you can have code or ideas that reflect that, so developers understand the landscape that they're coming into.
A city council committee unanimously advanced a proposal for an artist sustainability fund that would allow developers the opportunity to contribute in exchange for added density. That money could help secure and maintain affordable creative spaces. And it's not a solution yet, but it is a glimmer of one.
And I think that's a great first step to understanding and to acknowledging how important is to the community.
This side,
you met that lady?
I think so. I think she came to Radio St. Pete.
Probably.
Yeah.
It represents the wildlife you'll find in the bay, Tampa.
For Kaufman, that support may determine whether his next project is built here.
My hope is that the great people that are fighting for the arts, the artists, the creative community, the small businesses, keep that fight going, that the politicians that come in find ways, creative ways, to continue that community. And I would love to keep investing myself, my work, my creativity into the city. I'm not going to hold my breath.
His art is already part of St. Pete's legacy. This election may help decide whether St. Pete remains part of his future. So the artist sustainability.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, do you deserve to have space and live in the city?
No one deserves anything. You don't deserve anything. Yeah. And I think people need to hear that more. I think maybe my generation, certainly Gen Z and hopefully Gen Alpha. No one owes you anything, so shut up. That's my PSA.
It's a good message, Anna, and I don't disagree with you, but there are just so many. We talk about it pretty often, how it's not only like a minor disagreement, it's like a polar opposite take on so many things. Mm-hmm. And there are people, many who might be listening to this right now, that go, no, there should be more tax dollars given to people, free home, free rent, no rent, things that are just absurd on its face that a lot of people would say no.
People say that when they're the recipient of those things. And then all of a sudden they make a little money and they start to change their tune. That's why you often see people, I mean, maybe not now, but historically people tend to move to the right as they get older. Because they make more money, they aren't as idealistic, all those sorts of things. Typically with age comes a bit more money and status, obviously. And they go, wait, I don't want to give away all my money to taxes. I worked hard for this money. Yeah, exactly. So it's the whole like, but this isn't fair. And then it's like, I don't know if you never learned this lesson, but like life's not fair. I have to remind myself of that all the time because I have an inner child. I feel like we all do, right? And I go, this isn't fair. And then I'm like, hey, idiot, life's not fair. And then I go, oh yeah, I have to parent myself all the time because I'm just like a little crybaby. But now I'm parenting the listening audience. Life's not fair. Deal with it. Your problems aren't everybody else's problems. Do you care about somebody else's? Oh, let's pick another, I don't know, not the arts, but I don't know, my radio career, you know, we need to invest more money in radio. They don't care about that because they're not involved in it. It's just all about me and what I'm into, and I want to be supported by my community. I don't feel that way at all, to be honest. Don't worry about me. You got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never really felt that way either, even when I was like in it and I was obviously creating stuff to try to sell. I wasn't one of those people that's like, I'm not a sellout. None of this is for sale type of thing. I was definitely trying to sell stuff. I sold, I think, two things in my entire multi-year career as a visual artist in St. Pete, but it was fun. It was more just the community, and maybe that's what people want, just like a place to hang out, you know, with
sure, life. I get that.
And that's still available. It's just, you got to go to Pinellas Park or, you know, Northwards and build your own little community, make another town cool. You did it once. You can do it again.
Exactly.
We'll say goodbye to Radio St. Pete and our normal podcast feed at HMB Radio on iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. We're going to do some extra time here at willsyoutube.com, another half an hour uncensored. We can cuss and say dirty words and it's fun. So join us over there, willsyoutube.com, and the podcast will be up Sunday at midnight. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.